FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 15th, 2018. The month is halfway gone. We wanted to get David Morgan back to get a perspective on things ahead, what happened last year, how this year is going to be different than last year. But first, as always, be part of the show. Love getting your emails. I'm almost all caught up. That was my New Year's resolution. So far, I've carried forward on it. So looking ahead at the markets, gold and silver have been very strong this year. Can they keep it up, and will they go higher? Well, that's what's on everybody's mind. At least it's on mine, and I'm sure it's on many of yours. And David Morgan, themorganreport.com, is here with us to discuss. David, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Well, Kerry, thanks for having me back, and Happy New Year to everybody listening.
Hey, so what's your thoughts here? It was an interesting year, 2017, what some refer to as an inside year, where the high did not go above the high for 2016, and the low did not go below the low for 2016, and that can be significant.
Yeah, well stated. I mean, gold performed pretty well over the year 2017. Silver really did not. But we've been in an uptrend from this, big down move that happened from 2011 on, April 2011 for silver and September for gold. And the consolidation ended at the end of 2015. And so what I expect is early 2018 should mark the end of silver's corrective phase. And we'll start seeing it move up from there. I expect to see a good year for silver and a good year for gold. And how much can we expect? The market knows more than everyone. And that's my, go-to statement, but it's also true. I don't think it'd be unreasonable to see another 30% move in the metals this year, which, with silver at, 16 just a month ago, that's $1.60. So three of those puts you at about $4.55 bucks. So five on top of 16 gives you a $21 silver price for a high in 2018. And that may be conservative. We have to wait and see. What I do want to state is that we should see markedly better markets through 2018, 19, and 20. And we should be getting into the next peak in silver somewhere around the 2020, 2021 timeframe. And during that phase, there'll be a lot of money made. But, like we talked before or off the show, how are you doing, how are you doing the Morgan Report? And the answer is really quite well, because most everyone that subscribes has got a core position or a hedge position or an insurance position, name it what you will. But, we're always looking at equities that do really well. And we were early on the zinc story. That stock doubled for us. It's got great silver credits. And we've got a, mining / technology stock that's going to be our pick of the year. So we're going to have the CEO on the Morgan Report for the Mastermind members, which is our $1,000 a year subscription. But since everybody gets the report, from the premium member to the top tier, we're going to put that webinar available to all paid members, because I think it's crucial that they realize how much potential this reagent, this cyanide replacement has in the bigger scheme of things. In fact, one of the main companies that has basically, I'll quote unquote, partnered with us, because it's not a formal written partnership, but they're certainly very interested in the technology, and another pilot plan has just been accomplished, are looking to become one of the largest gold miners over the next 5 years or so without ever putting a spade in the ground, doing it all through electronic waste. And I can't name the company, but they have a direct pipeline to some of the most major electronic platforms, such as an iPhone, as an example. So when you think of how many iPhones are thrown away every year, or I should say thrown away, recycled, it's amazing. In fact, just to belabor the point, Kerry, and I think we talked about this on two shows ago, but your smartphone has about 4 grams of gold per ton. And some of these gold mines that are being worked as we speak have 1 gram of gold per ton.
I know.
So it's amazing that you got a better yield on a smartphone than you have in some of the, you know, some of the large gold mines.
Hey, and it's a lot easier to mine old iPhones than it is to mine in the ground, right? To dig through the rock.
No, absolutely, especially with this technology, because, you know, the EPA is out of the loop. You know, you don't have to get a special facility and, you know, burn through, you know, some acid or whatever. So it's just to collect, crush, and collect. In other words, collect the electronic waste, crush it into a certain, you know, certain grind. I forget what the name is, but and then you pour in the reagent and you watch the gold fall out, and then you collect the money for it. And I'm trying to be cute, but that's the essence of it. I mean, that's obviously a simplified version, but that's basically what happened. So it's quite exciting. And there's only one other analyst on the in the world, I hate to say it, but it's true, that I know of. There's only one other analyst that's even written anything about it, and it was on one of the major websites, but it's kind of overlooked. There was no increase in volume in the stock or increase in price or anything like that. So trying to kind of keep it close to the vest, because obviously I make my living when I find these things, and I sat on this whole story for 2 years before I ever wrote word one. And of course, before I even wrote word one, after studying this whole thing, I took myself and everyone that works for me except the secretary and the wordsmith to check it out. And we have film of it and all that. But anyway, I kind of labor in the pool, but very excited, because even though stock has moved rather well, it looks like it's got a lot further to go.
It's an amazing technology, and they've got the proof of concept done already. So now it's just scaling up, right?
That's right. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why I don't want to say it, but I want the CEO to say it. And I know he's limited by forward-looking statements and blah, 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 blah. But... I've done the math, and it looks like, based on the amount of shares outstanding now and what the potential is, let's say in 3 to 4 years, as far as when this thing is scaled up to capacity, that this stock would be at a PE of like 10. It would be like 10 times what it's selling for right now. And that's a gold stock, where I consider the gold stock. Maybe the market won't, but a gold stock at the top of the market usually sells for 35 times earnings. So, you know, I don't want to get too hypey. I mean, be a little careful, and certainly but we've already moved up the buy limit on the company, and the reason I moved it up is what I was very successful at in the beginning of the cycle, and that's finding some of these small companies that really did well. And there's a reason for it. I didn't want to delve into it now. It'll take too long. But as the company starts meeting their milestones, it's a different company. And once those milestones are met, completed, you know, and they got good cash flows coming, or got a good treasury or whatever, it's a different company. And therefore, you can pay a different price for it. But we aren't, fully looking for you're looking for a gold mine, and you drill, 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 and you're out of money. You don't want to add to those kind of positions. And we do very, very few of those type of situations. In fact, I only have one in the portfolio that I can think of. Anyway, back on point, it's pretty exciting, and we certainly want to help, you know, help ourselves and help others at the same time. True capitalism, the American way. We've got something that we really like. We'd like you to get involved. We'd like you to make your own ideas about it. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open this up for all paid members after the interview in January. So you don't have to be our full, you know, top tier mastermind member for 1,000 years. The $50 a month, you'll be able to get the get it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So exciting time. So that's why, you know, it's been kind of tough for the resource sector over the last few years, but there's always something out there if you know where to look, how to look, and what to do. And I'm not one to sit on my rear end very long, as you all know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I would liken the resource sector, at least to, you know, precious metals, mining, et cetera, to be the Maytag repairman of the stock market. No respect, and the loneliest outpost there.
Yeah, and I think that's well said, Kerry, and I'll just compliment you for that. And secondly, say it's going to shift. I think this is the year where the shift really begins. You're going to see ETF for the for the base metals just made a four-year high a couple of months ago. And that's in the what, unless you're really paying attention. And certainly I don't get everything, but I keep my eyes open and have others to help me and all that. And so that was kind of like a big hint that the commodity cycle may be starting up again, but so few people are paying any attention whatsoever at all to that sector. All they're looking at is, you know, are we going to make it to 26,000 or not? And hey, maybe we will.
I'm sure that we will, but that isn't necessarily the point. How you get there has got something to do with it. You know, for 2017, and I just want to pull up my numbers here. We looked at copper. Copper was up 30.4% for the year. So when you talk about base metals hitting, multi-year highs, you know, you look, zinc was up even higher than that. I don't track zinc and I don't track many of the other bases other than copper, but 30.4% is pretty darn respectable and also a very good leading indicator as well.
Absolutely. Dr. Copper, as we call it, as you know, saying loud and clear that something's going on in the whole commodity sector, something's going on in the overall economy. And, you know, a lot of people attribute to EV, electric vehicles, and I think that certainly has something to do with it. And, you know, things are shifting. I mean, the big shift, the smart money, in fact, has already come out of the stock market and moved into gold. Yeah, I know few people believe that, but it's true if you know where to look and to track it. And that's the fact. But a lot of the, let's say, not so smart money is still looking for that next high on the Dow. And of course, there's pension funds and mutual funds and all this ETFs and all this stuff out there in the derivatives market that really can't escape the stock market very easily. They're kind of locked in to some degree. So they're left kind of holding the bag if things go the other way. And I think we're going to see some kind of correction in the stock market. I'm not looking for a huge crash or all of that, at least not for some time, if ever. I mean, the realistic truth of the matter is that the plunge protection team of the working group of financial markets, all these markets are under control of the quantum theory of mechanics. It's all algorithms that run everything. It's computers to computers what it is.
That's it. There's no room for old men in the this equation anymore. Hey, I should have mentioned also palladium saw a 55.5% increase for 2017, which is
one of our best trades in the Morgan Report. In fact, I did it on a physical basis and I probably got out too soon, but I had one whack of a profit. And a lot of our members, I hooked them up, anyone that wanted to, of course. I mean, it's, when you pay me, you get the best of our thinking and our contacts and everything that we do here. But and said, I'm really bullish palladium. And so several of them made contact and bought it physical. And there's not really a good palladium stock out there. Well, Stillwater's okay. Yeah. But anyway, palladium was one that helped my portfolio last year. There's no doubt about that.
Well, this adds to the anomalies in the precious metals market. We've seen gold overtake platinum for damn near 2 years now, okay, which is always, which is never the case. Now we've seen palladium overtake platinum. It's trading at almost 20% higher than platinum. Then we look at numismatic coins in the market, trading at virtually no difference in premium to bullion coins. And then we look at junk silver, where the premiums have eroded to near record low levels. So we've got like major anomalies in this market, David, that I haven't been in it as long as you, but I'd venture to say you probably have never seen anything like this before.
Well, yeah, a couple points. One, I've never seen the spread go the other way with gold and platinum as long as it's been. In fact, I've made that ratio trade several times with great success. And I'm just going to call it pure luck I'm going to call it luck because for some reason I didn't put that spread trade on this time. And like you said, it's been like 2 years. So thank goodness for that. I called, palladium to outperform platinum by a great deal. We did that kind of in the Morgan Report and did a little white paper on that. And then as far as just maybe one little technical thing, go way, way back into the palladium market, it actually sold for more than gold. in the early 2000s. In fact, I want to explore that a little bit. I don't think I've done this on your show. I've only talked about it a couple times. And the two times I've talked about it have been at, you know, gold investment conferences like you and I see each other at fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. But what happened, this is the big question I get about silver. Well, why doesn't somebody buy up all the silver? And what would happen if they bought up all the silver? Good question. Well, you can't because of the way the exchange rules are. But they didn't have that in place for palladium back in the early 2000s. So what happened was Ford Motor Company switched their line from using platinum in their catalytic converters to palladium because it was a lot cheaper. Except no one told the buyer at Ford Motor Company how little palladium existed on the planet. So when he put his buy order in, palladium took off to the moon. I was long two contracts at the time. And my bank called me up and said, you know, you got to add to your margin position. I said, I'm long. I want to add to my position, not to my cash.
What's that about?
You don't understand. All margins are being increased to this astronomical number. So what happened was there was a huge short squeeze in the palladium market. It went up to like 1,100.
Right.
And if you were on the paper side, this is hard to believe, you had to put up twice the cash price of palladium to hold your futures position. So the physical market absolutely 100% took over the price of palladium. Mm-hmm. But for palladium, the metal itself, the LME at the time decided to play God and say who had to lease what palladium to whom to keep the physical market going where they thought it was most needed. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, well, they've done these things before. I mean, we just have to go back to when precious metals were really booming and they kept upping the margin requirement and upping it and finally squeezed the longs out, and the rest is history. I mean, we see them do it. I just find it fascinating, though, because in theory, at least, in most applications, platinum is a better catalyst in catalytic converters than palladium. I know, like for diesel, maybe palladium's a little better, but they are a substitute. So I would expect to see like somehow, some way, the manufacturer's going to switch back to platinum when it's this much less than palladium. I mean, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, no, I think you make an extremely good point that, you know, they both perform basically the same function. And as I just addressed, you know, that's why palladium just got, you know, this moonshot because someone didn't do their homework on, you know, how much physical was available. But platinum is used in diesels. I think you said palladium, but they can be used. Either one can be used. Yeah. Either one. But platinum's a little more favorable to diesel, and that's sort of one of the excuses given. You know, platinum, the ratio of trade to go long platinum and short gold, probably at this point, after 2 years of not working, I'm not saying it's going to work this month, but for a long-term hedge or a long-term position, if you're really, you know, got a pretty big gold position, it might be worth a drive down to your dealer to throw some of those gold coins on the counter and trade it for platinum. And then I'd say 3 to 4 years from now, you could take that platinum and increase your gold position pretty substantially, like, you know, 20% or something. Something to consider. But you're right. There's this arbitrage opportunity in the market, depending on the scale of how many, you know, catalytic converters you have to build in a given month or year, that there could be something to start putting pressure on platinum. And the other thing about platinum is that it's not only a tight market like palladium, but it's almost 70% from South Africa. So think about that. If there's any mining strikes down there or more geopolitical upheaval, and I'm not wanting this anyway. All I'm pointing out is very vulnerable to any kind of problem to shoot the price up, you know, spike it, you know, probably temporarily, but to spike it rather easily.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this one you can just see happening. It could happen any day, anytime. Labor relations in South Africa, very tumultuous at times. I don't know if they follow a cycle or not, but you could just see that this is going to be one of those trades you're going to look back on 4 or 5 years and say, gee, it was so damn obvious. And you know what's good about it? It's the kind of trade that only sophisticated investors will undertake. The world at large is not going to start trying to figure out the difference between platinum and palladium. You know, the average person, you might find somebody that knows, yeah, well, I have a platinum setting in my ring. And that's all they know about platinum, David. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a totally ignorant, you know, the population as a whole, just totally ignorant of these markets completely.
Yeah, I know you probably want to wrap up, but I'll just give you, I feel like I'm having a personal story and it's fine and I hope sure. the listeners enjoy. But when I moved up here to the Northwest, I had a pretty strong platinum physical position. And I was way up on it and I needed to do some stuff for the Morgan Report. So I cashed out and I went down to a coin dealer. Of course, you take a little bit of a hit sometimes on the sell because it's such a thin market and it wasn't, you know, anything unexpected. But when I got out of there, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm probably like the only, I'm maybe the only one in this area that has platinum at all, or, you know, one of three. I mean, that's the kind of market it is. By the way, for the listeners, it's called the noble metal and it's 15 times rarer than gold is. So all the time I get, you know, well, silver is, you know, there's, it's a 9-to-1 ratio in the ground, you know, so why isn't silver selling for, you know, a tenth of the price of gold? Well, I just answered your question. I mean, why isn't platinum selling for 15 times the price of gold? It's 15 times rarer. So these markets are dictated by the market. And yes, there is, you know, manipulation. I mean, I don't think anyone at this point has to even ask me that question, because I wrote a whole chapter on silver manipulation in the Silver Manifesto. And, you know, every word is true. But nonetheless, that's the market for you. So it doesn't matter that much what the out of the ground ratio is as far as what it should really sell for. The market determines that.
Yeah. Hey, because just because it's in the ground in certain proportions, the market, the demand characteristics and the supply are going to ultimately rule what the price is as far as how it appears in nature. And in all likelihood, it'll go back to that at some point. But, you know, it's, you can't, that's the starting point to valuation. That's not the ending point. Right. Correct. At the end point. So,
yeah, just to belabor that a bit, you know, I mean, if you go back in history and look at the gold silver ratio, they traded at the natural ratio. In other words, it was a 12 to 1 back in the like 13th, 14th, 15th century. And that's basically what the market priced them at. But they both served exactly the same function in most places. They were both money. There wasn't iPhones and all that stuff back in those centuries. So that's because they served the same function, they pretty much traded at the natural ratio of how they came out of the ground. But once that shifted after the crime of 1872,
correct,
then you know, it became not a monetary metal, it became an industrial metal. Of course, it's still both, but regardless, changed everything. So your point's well taken.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story that we could talk about for many hours. The demonetization of silver, and the repercussions of it that went on for decades and probably to some extent still carry on to this day, although much less. But yeah, silver, you know, it's been so weak for so long. And if there's a move in gold, it's probably going to take silver along with it this year. And silver, as we've said many times, being the much more volatile of the two, will profit all the more in all likelihood. So anyway, David, we've got to get going now. So we just find you over at themorganreport.com, right? And go there, sign up for the service. It's well worth it. I've been a big follower for many years. And hey, while you're at it, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for a free newsletter. David, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kerry. And I want to just give a shout out to you on the show for thanking you for helping me get the podcast set up. I think it's been several months now, starting to gain more momentum. So anyone out there listening in the podcast world, please tell your friends, neighbors, and everyone else that The Morgan Report is a podcast available on iTunes and Android. Thank you.
All right. Hey, yeah, check out The Morgan Report. And David, we'll check in with you. Hey, we'll hopefully see you at a few conferences. Be well, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.